Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mickey Badlamenti, discipleship pastor here at Rock Point Community Church. Our goal in the messages we share is to consistently present God's truth in ways that will challenge you, bring you new perspective, and ultimately lead you into closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we hope this message encourages you in your faith. We also welcome you to visit us anytime you're in the Detroit area. Our Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and include a full range of children's programs, as well as a ministry specifically for children with special needs. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at rockpoint.org for more information.
Appreciate over the last several weeks, I was listening by live stream to Mickey's series, and I thought he did a brilliant job with that. We also have today another one of our staff members, and that is a gentleman named Aaron Blank. Now, Aaron has been with us almost a year now. He heads up our student ministries, has an extreme background in the area of just biblical truth and understanding of those things. He comes to us from, he was born in Michigan, raised pretty much in Tennessee, but came to us from Hutchinson, Kansas. And if you know anything about the Superman mythology, then you know that that is the theoretical hometown of, at least it's a stand-in for Superman's hometown. Now, I'm not meaning anything about this, but if you will notice, Aaron, you'll notice that he wears glasses, and I'm not sure any of us have ever seen them with them off. And so just a thought that could be in regards to that. But he's doing a phenomenal job with our youth. So would you please, this morning, very warmly welcome, and I'm going to adjust this, Aaron Blank.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Pastor Aaron, like he said, and I'm the youth pastor here. And I'd like to ask if you would stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We are going to be reading out of John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. It says, Jesus went to Jerusalem because it was time for one of the Jewish festivals. There was a pool near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. Its name in the Jewish language is Bethesda. And around that time, there was a building with five places that had a roof covering them. A large number of sick people were lying in these places. Some of them were blind, some couldn't walk, some couldn't move their legs or arms, and they'd wait there for long periods of time in hopes that they'd see the water start to move, because it was believed that an angel would go down into the pool and would stir the water. When that happened, all of the sick people would try to get into the pool, because they believed that the first person who got into the water would be healed. One man who was lying there had been unable to walk for 38 years. Jesus saw this man and knew that the man had been like this for a long time. So he asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, I don't have anyone to help me. I need someone to put me into the pool, because when the water starts to move, someone else always gets in before me." Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." The man was immediately healed. He picked up his mat and walked away. This happened on the Jewish day of rest. Because of this, the Jewish leaders spoke to the man and said to him, "You must not carry your mat on our day of rest. You aren't obeying the rules." The man replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this man? Who said to you, 'Pick up your mat and walk?'" The man didn't know who had healed him, because Jesus had already left and joined the crowd that was there. You may be seated. If you're ever curious about what translation I'm reading out of, it's the Easy Translation or Easy to Read Translation. That's a real thing, for real. And that's the one that I use for Wednesday nights as well, because it's easy to read. So, as I mentioned, I'm Pastor Aaron. I'm the youth pastor here. And when I was 14 years old, my oldest sister thought that I was taking a little too long to go on the swinging monkey bars. We went to this playground in Moss Wright in Tennessee, and she, my oldest sister, I was being like a typical annoying, little brother, but they had these swinging monkey bars. This is the closest image I could find them. They didn't look this sketchy, because like ours weren't made of bungee cords. So these were like actual metal, on an actual play place. And so my sister, being a typical annoying younger brother, I'm like leaning on it. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go. My sister got obviously annoyed, pushed me off. I was not holding on with both hands. I was just holding with one. My hand like twisted in this really bad, painful position, and I fell, and immediately I just felt like burning, you know, down my arm, and I could not lift my arm more than this, and I couldn't squeeze anything. So obviously, my parents rushed us to the hospital. They performed scans on my shoulder and my arms. And as it turns out, there was nothing structurally wrong with my arm, at least nothing from what my sister had done to me. But the doctors did find that I had a bone cyst in that same shoulder, which surprisingly was not scary news to me as a 14-year-old boy. I have no idea what a cyst is. And so when an eighth grader, they're telling me you have a cyst, it's just, you know, empty noise behind my head. You know, I have no idea what they're talking about. And so all I care about is how is this going to impact my summer vacation? You know, because I only have so many days off of school and I need this arm to do stuff. So like, let's get this thing fixed up so that I can, you know, do stuff this summer. So here is how the bone cyst was described to me. They said, there's this thing inside your shoulder and it's eating your bone. And if we don't remove it now, it'll hollow out your shoulder so that by the time you're a senior in high school, the slightest hit to it will shatter your shoulder. And let's pause for a minute because I just wanted to get my older sister in trouble. And now you're telling me I've got some freak alien thing eating my bones inside of me? Yeah, I want that out. Like, I'd like to have that out of me right now. And so they said there's a potential risk. They said there's a 30% risk that we could hit the growth plate in your shoulder. And if we do, your arm won't grow, you know, anymore from here to here. The rest of your arm will grow, but it won't grow from here to here. And so I now, as a 14-year-old, I have the decision to make of, do I want a painfully shattered shoulder when I'm older, or do I want a baby arm potentially when I'm older? And so I chose the latter. I chose the potential baby arm. And they hit the growth plate. And so now I am permanently stuck with an eighth grader's arm from here to here. And I have, you know, a scar on my shoulder to go along with that. I did not want that to happen. That was not my intention. My scar, my injury was not from something that I did, but it happened. And let me tell you, I was pretty resentful towards God for, you know, that happening. I prayed so many times for God to heal my arm and make it grow so that it could be normal. And I told God, like, I would try to make deals with God where I was like, listen, God, if you do this thing for me, I'll tell everybody about how you healed me. Even if they don't want to know, I'll tell them. I'll tell them about how you healed me. Doesn't that sound pretty good, God, like for me to do this thing for you that, you know, you could do this thing? He never did it. And so I still have the scar, and I still have, you know, the injury that proves it. And so, yes, it shrank a little over time and healed a little bit. It's still there. And what I'm saying is that it was not my fault, but the scar is still there. A little later, the doctors told us, we've got great news. We can fix your arm. And they're like, all we have to do is wait until you're about a senior in high school, so around the time that you're graduating, what we'll do is that we need to wait that long because by then your arm will be like fully the same size, like of what we should be aiming for. So what we'll do is we'll wait until your arm is full size. Then we'll put this like cage contraption over your arm. And then what we'll need to do is we'll break your arm and then we'll separate your arm with this contraption. And then your arm will grow back together. And then we'll break your arm again. And then we'll let it grow back together. And then we'll break your arm again. And we'll do that until your arms are the same size. Does this sound like a great plan? And I was like, no, like, I don't want that at all. Like, why would I want to have my arm broken over and over, painfully broken over and over again, and have this big thing on me going into my freshman year of college? I said, I'll pass on that. I'm not going to have my arm broken over and over again for something that wasn't my fault. Now, when I say that, That was the younger me talking. Obviously now I know that they did not, that was not something that they did on purpose. It was an accident. And I want to be very clear about this. I'm not speaking poorly of healthcare workers. My wife is a healthcare worker, and they hear that type of stuff all the time. They don't need to hear it from me. But what I do want you to hear is that I settled. I took the less painful option, and I decided to settle for where I was, and then I got bitter, mostly at God. And maybe you are currently in or have been in a situation where you're angry at God or at someone else for something that has happened to you in your life. Not all injuries, not all scars happen on the outside. In fact, some of the most painful scars are only known to ourselves because they happen on the inside. Hurt, bitterness, anger, and fear all happen on the inside when those closest to us hurt us. And when we're hurt, we have two options. We can either get bitter or we can get better. And you've probably heard that phrase before. You've probably also heard the phrase that time heals all wounds. And that's kind of can be true. And scars can certainly start to shrink a little bit and become less prominent. But once you have a scar, you're not the same. That's the point of a scar, is it leaves a mark. It's almost always permanent. And so we're not the same person that we were before. And sometimes that can be for the good, but most of the time it can change us for the worst. And it can cause us to be less open, less caring, less likely to trust someone else, including God. It doesn't matter how we've received a scar, whether it's from ourselves or if it's from someone else, whether it's external or internal, it still hurts. Scars still hurt. But what I want us to focus on today is, what do we do after we've been hurt? Because you really can't stop other things from happening, but you can focus on yourself and how are you going to respond when those things happen to you. What do we do after we've been hurt? Well, let's go back and let's look at the man who was hurting for 38 years. Again, John chapter 5, 1 through 15. Jesus went to Jerusalem because it was time for one of the Jewish festivals. There was a pool near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. Its name in the Jewish language is Bethesda, and it's not the church down the street. And around the pool, there was a building with five places that had a roof covering them. Think of it like an awning. And so a large number of sick people were lying in these places underneath. Some of them were blind. Some couldn't walk. Some couldn't move their legs or arms. And they'd wait there for long periods of time in hopes that they'd see the water start to move. Because it was believed that an angel would go down into the pool and stir the water. When that happened, all of the sick people would try to get into the pool because they believed that the first person who got into the water would be healed. And part of the reason that it was so hard to get in, you would think that you could just cheat the system. Like, if I'm injured, why don't I just lay next to it? And then when it starts, I just roll in. But the reason that it was so hard is, for one thing, that's gross. But for another thing is, there were two pools, two bodies of water. And there was no telling if any of them would ever be stirred, much less which one would it be when it actually is stirred. So it was harder than you would think to actually get in there. Mind you, I also did some research, and there's only like 1 to 6 documented cases of someone actually being healed by these pools. So that's not really like a great number of people that have been healed by them. And those are also from varying like iffy sources. So 1 to 6, not that great of an odds. But anyway, one man had been lying there, unable to walk for 38 years. Scripture doesn't say exactly how long or how old this man was or how long he had been waiting there. But it can be assumed that he had been there for most of those 38 years because he had no other way to get around. He had no other means of transportation other than to crawl. They didn't have wheelchairs back then. The first wheelchair wasn't invented until 1595. There's your fun fact for you. He could have been dragged by other people or, put on a cart, but you're not going to go very long, far distances. So he had a pretty pitiful life. You know, 38 years, nearly 38 years spent in the same place. You can imagine, that's not a great life. Side note, pitiful and pathetic are not the same words. They're totally different words. I learned this early on in my marriage. Is our first year, and my wife was sick, and I was like, oh, I was like, you just look so pathetic right now. And as it came out, I go, I don't think that was the word that I was looking for. And she was like, I don't think it was either. And it was not. I was looking for pitiful. Thankfully, God has blessed me with a very forgiving wife. Love you, Stephanie. But pitiful, they're not the same word. This man's life was pitiful. It was one to be pitied. So Jesus saw this man and knew that the man had been like this for a long time. So he asked the man, do you want to get well? The sick man said, sir, I don't have anyone to help me. I need someone to put me into the pool when the water starts to move because someone else always gets in before me. Now, he could have just said yes. You know, do you want to get well? He could have just been like, yeah, I want to get well. But he doesn't know Jesus. For all he knows, this is just some random jerk asking a rhetorical question. Like, do you want to get, no, I want to sit here for the rest of my life and never be able to walk. Yes, I would like to, I'd like to have help. So he complains a little bit to Jesus while also kind of hinting at like trying to get him to help him. And so then Jesus said to him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. The man was immediately healed. He picked up his mat and walked away. Oddly enough, it's not even mentioned if he even thanked Jesus for healing him, which is kind of crazy, but it's possible that he was immediately headed to the temple to thank God, which we'll read about a little later. But how are you not going to be like even a little bit interested in the dude who just, the random dude who just healed you with words, not like medicine, but with words? Like he wasn't even slightly interested in him. He just walked away. So anyway, this man was 38 years unable to walk, has now been healed. And he is walking with his bed mat. And the Jewish leaders tell him, you must not carry your mat on our day of rest. You aren't obeying our rules. And if this were to happen to you or I in America today, we would probably have some choice words to say to those people because, like, you're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do. Also, I just got healed. Like, I'm walking for potentially the first time in my life. I'm going to walk around, right? And then also, I have this bed. What do you want me to do with this? It's my bed. I need this. So I'm going to take this with me when I go places. But this was not America. This was a totally different time. The Jews back then were, most of them anyways, were afraid of Jewish leadership. So obviously that's not what he says. So the man replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this man? Who said to you, pick up your mat and walk? The man didn't know who had healed him because remember, he just kind of got up and walked away. So also, Jesus had already left and joined the crowd that was there. But the story continues. Sometime after that, Jesus found the man in the temple. So it's likely that he had gone there to offer praise to God for his healing, which is very admirable. And so Jesus finds him. He says to him, see how you've been healed? Stop sinning. If you don't, something worse may happen to you. Now, something weird happened next because here he has another opportunity to thank Jesus for healing him, maybe even follow Jesus or even talk to Jesus. You know, he's got another opportunity. He's right in front of him. But instead, the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So he tattled. He tattled on Jesus, full-grown man, tattled on Jesus. I want to pause, and I want to go back and talk about my arm. Now that I'm older, when I think about my arm or my scar, I'm reminded of two things. The first being that had my sister not pushed me that day, I would have never known about the cyst in my shoulder. And it would have been way more painful for me than just the scar that I have on my arm. The second thing that I'm reminded of is someone who actually chose to have not just one scar, but multiple scars for me. so that the body that I'm currently living in would not be all that there is for me. And that person, that someone, is Jesus. Jesus was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross so that you and I could be changed and spend forever with him in heaven. So that no matter how many scars or injuries that we might get in this life, we can know with absolute certainty that this is not the end for us. This isn't all that there is. And while that is amazing, and it is, it doesn't take away from the pain that scars will bring in this life. Jesus felt real pain. Jesus felt pain for every single one of his scars, just like us. Not only was he beaten and hung on a cross with nails, he was also betrayed by all of his closest friends, specifically by Judas and Peter. Judas literally told the guards where they could find Jesus to arrest him. Yet another full-grown man tattling on Jesus. But Peter, who also spent the last 3 years, three full years of his life living with Jesus, seeing these miracles, said, "I've never met that man in my life," three times. Denied knowing him three times. So Jesus suffered internally and externally. Maybe you're at a place right now in your own life, and it's because of your own choices. You've messed up. You've messed up a lot. You've caused a lot of problems for yourself, maybe for other people. You feel like there's no freedom, no hope, no redemption, no forgiveness. If that's you, then I need you to hear that Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you so that you could be forgiven and that you would have forgiveness for your sins, be changed, and be better. So that no matter what you've done, you've been given an invitation into the kingdom of heaven. And that's only possible by the blood of Jesus. You've been invited to spend forever with someone who knows everything about you and yet still loves you and wants you. He knows every single dumb thing that you've ever done and ever will do, and yet he still wants you. He still loves you. It doesn't mean that there won't still be scars, that there's not going to be pain in your life, but there's guaranteed forgiveness if you repent and ask Jesus for it. Or maybe you've received scars from others, from things outside of your own control, things that you did not want to have happen. You would never have chosen those things. If that's you, then I need you to hear this word, forgive. Jesus offered us more forgiveness than we could ever deserve, and so we are equally called to forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." Colossians 3, 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." We could spend a long time fleshing out forgiveness. And don't get me wrong, forgiveness does not mean that you shouldn't have boundaries. Boundaries are good. And it also does not mean that there won't still be scars, that there won't still be some pain from it. But there is peace when we let go and forgive others. There have been multiple studies done on the subject of forgiveness, and what they have found is that people who forgive feel less anxious, are less likely to be depressed, and have a lower chance of heart attack, which really, this is just so you guys know, being an youth pastor, I could say that to students and they don't even, that doesn't mean anything to them, but now that I'm a little older, I'm like, heart attack, I kind of probably should pay attention to that a little bit. But Johns Hopkins, which is a well-known medical university, published a report titled, "Forgiveness, Your Health Depends on It." One of the quotes from that report reads, "Forgiveness is not just about saying the words. It's an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings towards a person, whether or not they deserve it. As you release the anger and resentment, you begin to feel empathy, compassion, and sometimes even affection for the person who wronged you. And it goes on to say that people who are forgiving, are more forgiving, tend to live more satisfied lives and have less anxiety, depression, stress, and anger. When I was younger, I was bitter towards God because of my arm and my scar. And while it's not mentioned what happened to the man after he tattled on Jesus, we can assume that not much changed because he didn't follow Jesus. We know for certain he didn't follow Jesus, proving that Jesus can literally heal you and you still choose to walk away. We all carry scars. Some are caused by ourselves, some are caused by others, but the good news is that Jesus took on scars of his own so that that wouldn't be the end of our own story. It doesn't end with forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness. Our new life in Jesus starts because of forgiveness. We don't have to let life make us bitter. We can let him make us better. There's forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus. There's hope because of the blood of Jesus. There's freedom because of the blood of Jesus. But we have to choose him. He's already chosen us. We have to choose him. The scars aren't going away regardless of what decision you make. You can either follow Jesus or you cannot follow Jesus. Scars don't go away no matter what. The scars are still going to be there. But only one choice will make your life more full and allow you to live forever. And if you have made that choice for the first time today, then let me be the first to say, congratulations. You've just made the best decision ever. And you are surrounded by a great company of people who will love to encourage you. And we want to talk more with you about this journey. And we want to pray for you. And we want to equip you with everything that you need to follow Jesus. And we like to do that as a community. And we need each other because, you know, that's what we were created for, is for community. And Rock Point is a great community. I can say this because I've been a pastor at three other churches, and I've been to numerous other ones, and I can honestly say that Rock Point is very blessed, very fortunate. Because of you guys, you're the most generous, the most welcoming, the most loving that I've ever seen. And so we would love to pray for you. And in fact, at the end of every service, we usually say that we have people up front that would love to pray for you. We would love to equip you with the means to follow Jesus. If you've said yes today, please come forward at the end of service and receive some prayer. Welcome to the family of God. If you've already made the choice to follow Jesus, but you're holding on to unforgiveness, then I think we both know what that next step should be. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not diminishing the hurt that you've received. You've been hurt. You've been hurt, and it's legitimate, and I'm sorry. You have every right to hold on to that hurt. But I equally have every right to tell you what Jesus said as he was dying on the cross, literally dying on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness is crucial to following Jesus. And since we've covered first-time believers and longtime believers, the last group that I want to address are the undecided. If you're still undecided, you aren't sure about this whole Jesus thing, like, I don't know if I believe it, please come back next week. Pastor Andy is officially back, and so he does a much better job than me, and hopefully you can cut us some slack. This is my first time preaching in front of, it's not my first time preaching ever, so hopefully it wasn't that bad, but come back. Seriously, come back. Because we believe that God has put you on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to know him and to tell others about him, and we would love nothing more than to help you come to know him. We're going to sing a new song today, and it's about the blood of Jesus, but before we do, would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for just the opportunity to hear your word this morning. Thank you for your example. Thank you for demonstrating to us what forgiveness is. Lord, I just pray that your spirit would just knock on the doors of our hearts. some of us are dealing with really hard forgiveness. Some of us, we can't forgive this other person. Some of it is ourselves. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would just be ever present and on our minds. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. It's only by his scars that we're healed. It's only by his blood, his sacrifice, that we are forgiven. And it's undeserving, but it's freely given to all who choose to surrender their own scars. Remember, the point of this message was to talk about what do we do after we've been hurt. Don't be like the man in the story who was healed and then still chose to walk away from Jesus. Choose Jesus. Choose forgiveness. God has put you on this earth for a purpose, and that's to know him and then to tell others about him. And we would love nothing more than to help you come to know him. I'll close with these two quotes, which we've already mentioned. Forgiveness, your health depends on it, and Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's my prayer that we would be a people deeply rooted in biblical community, and forgiveness is absolutely necessary when in community. And it's important also for our own mental and physical health. So let's be a people of forgiveness. If you've made the decision for the first time to follow Jesus, or you are struggling with forgiveness and you need prayer, that's why we have people up in the front. So I'm gonna close in prayer, but please consider coming forward and just receiving prayer. We all need prayer, but let's pray together one final time. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for, again, your example. Lord, I just pray that you would just move in our minds this week. Let this not just be a thing that we hear now and we leave and we forget come Monday morning. Lord, help us to act. Help us to be a people of forgiveness. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.